Welcome to the James River Community Church Sermon Replay. James River Community Church is driven to know Christ and to make Him known. We are a theologically reformed, mission-minded congregation. Our intention is to grow in the grace and enjoyment of God in all things. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at jamesrivercommunitychurch.org.
Well, good morning, James River Community Church. Just so thankful and blessed to be here and to be able to bring you God's Word. Beautiful, beautiful church. I told Ben when I walked in, I felt like I was at home. I'm from Pocosin, Virginia. A lot of people tell me to, they don't take that, they don't hold that against me, but every time I come here in Smithfield and Suffolk and Olive White, I feel right at home. So thank you for this blessing. One of my, I'm a little long in the tooth. You can tell from the color of my beard. One of my favorite musical groups of all time as a young man growing up was a group known as Sister Sledge. I don't know, some of you may remember Sister Sledge. I feel better. Thanks for making me feel better. In 1979, Sister Sledge released a song entitled "We Are Family." It's a song that celebrates the solidarity of family, and you hear it primarily at weddings today. I don't think I've been to a wedding in the last 10 years I haven't heard that song played by the DJ. You see, God created us in His image. He designed us to be in relationship one with the other, in personal relationships, and in our relationships with other believers. Believers who live life together as a church family. Because we are family in the blood of Christ. A Christian family is a family where we are to love one another, where we are to serve one another, just as Jesus Christ served in His life. Where we learn to grow in love relationships with Christ, where we learn to express our emotions, where we learn to have constructive conflict, where we learn how to cope, where we learn how to survive life's problems, but also where we learn to be self-disciplined and where we learn to love ourselves as we should love others and as Christ loves us. The church is this church. It's a beautiful church. It's a gift from God. The church is to be the lighthouse. It's to be the source for solutions for a lost and dying society. A society of broken people living in a very broken world with a lot of broken families. So my message today is entitled, "We Are Family." And in this passage, it addresses the essentials of a happy and thriving church family that brings ultimate glory to God. The passage that I'm preaching from this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. And I do think there's a slide that Ben prepared. But the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes these words from God. starts at verse 12. Now, we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Father, use me today to open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Use me to open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Heavenly Father, we just ask for your Holy Spirit this morning to guide us as we worship and to open our hearts during our time together so that we may continue to receive your incredible love. We ask all of this in the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In a letter written to the Thessalonian church, and really to all believers everywhere, the Apostle Paul's purpose for writing 1 Thessalonians was to strengthen the Thessalonian Christians in their faith and to give them the assurance of Christ's return. This letter was written in 51 AD. The Apostle Paul saw the church as a family where each member was born again by the Holy Spirit of God and who possessed God's nature through the Spirit. For Paul, they were part of God's family. You see, it's tragic when believers do not participate fully in the church. I know because I used to be one of those people. And no family is perfect. No church is perfect. But everyone needs a church family, particularly if they are to build each other up in the family. As Paul states earlier in verse 11, he says that we should build each other up. Somebody say, build each other up. Every member of the church has a responsibility to help one another grow as believers. In verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul addresses leadership first. And he states, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. You see, without leadership, families simply fall apart. And although God has ordained fathers to be the head of the home, both the mother and the father, who have been created equal in value, must stand together to complement one another in their different roles and duties in managing the home and expanding the kingdom of God. Amen? As we know, this order has been seriously disturbed and disrupted in our fallen society. Sadly, the American family is becoming endangered. The American family is disappearing. There are predictions that 1 in 4 young adult Americans today may never marry. And if they do, it will be later in life. 29 years for men, 27 for women. And divorce rates for both younger and older adults remain high. And God has ordained leadership for the local church family as well. The church must respond to what's happening today. And although we are all one in Christ Jesus, the Father, as the head of the church, has given each of us gifts, irrespective of who we are, where we've come from, are we married, are we single. He's given us gifts to exercise His will in serving the kingdom of God. And just as the flock needs a shepherd, the church family needs leaders. We know this. The church family needs pastors. Thanks be to God for Brother Ben. Amen. Thanks be to God for God bringing him here to shepherd this flock. But the church needs elders. The church needs deacons. The church needs nursery leaders, Sunday school teachers, worship leaders, lay ministers. And what responsibility does the church family have towards their spiritual leaders? Paul gives guidance for this. First, he states that the church family should acknowledge the spiritual leader. In verse 12, he says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you." The Greek interpretation for this word acknowledge here is "youtha." Youtha, spelled O-I-D-A, pronounced "youtha." It means to accept them because they work hard and they have spiritual authority from God to care for the church family. Second, Paul states that the church family should love them. Somebody say, love them. Verse 13 states, hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. As the church leaders follow God, we must follow the church leaders. Spiritual leadership is a great responsibility, and it's a difficult task, and particularly the world today with the challenges that we have. Divorce rates through the roof, single parents, murder, crime. You read the news. It's not easy serving as a pastor. It's not easy serving as an elder or a deacon. And it's dangerous when a church family takes its leaders for granted. It's easy to do. It's also dangerous when a church family fails to pray for them or to encourage them. So we should love them in true Christian love for their work as God's ambassadors in forming us spiritually as Christians. Being able to love and instruct and sometimes reprimand, if necessary, takes a lot of grace from the Holy Spirit for a pastor or spiritual leader to be both amongst us and to be over us as the flock at the same time. Finally, not only should the church family acknowledge and love their spiritual leaders, they should obey them. The scripture states in verse 13, and live in peace with each other. When God's servants and spiritual leaders, led by the Holy Spirit of God, calls us to obey God's word, then we should follow. Unless, of course, the spiritual leaders are operating outside of the will of God. Generally, a wise pastor or leader will know when they make a mistake, and we are all human. And they'll admit it when they're wrong, and we hope that we will give them the grace that our Heavenly Father gives us. And the result of the church family following their spiritual leaders will be peace. It will be harmony in the church. And we'll see this in verse 13. Whenever you find dissension in a family, what is the cause? Generally, it's because of pride. Some cases, it's selfishness. In other cases, it's sin on the part of the leader of the family or the members or both. Some cases, it's the lack of forgiveness. James 4, verses 1 through 3, drives this point home by stating, what causes fights and quarrels amongst you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. It's only when we, as a fallen people, humbly submit to one another in Christ so that we can enjoy His peace and blessings within the family. At this point in the scripture, Paul now makes a transition in the text because the spiritual leaders can't do all of the work. Therefore, Paul adds a second request and teaching in this passage in verses 14 through 15 where he states that family members, all of us, must learn to minister to one another. The text states, verse 14, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Verse 15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. What Paul is referring to here is what we would call today the church body life. The church is the body of Christ. And Jesus is the head of the body, and we are the members. Therefore, church body life must reflect three things. First, church body life must reflect unity in diversity. where the church looks as heaven is, racially, culturally. People from every tongues, tribes, and nations. Secondly, in this unity in diversity, the church body life must exhibit interdependence one on the other. And finally, there must be dependence on the head of the church in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the body of Christ, each one of us as family members, each one of us as ministers in our own right, must learn to boldly minister to each other in love. Ephesians 4:12 instructs spiritual leaders in the church, and I quote, to equip the members for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And the Apostle Paul names some particular family members who need personal help. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul states, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Verse really spoke to me this week. I haven't always done that. I'm a sinner. But I have the blood of Jesus. Here Paul is saying to warn the idle. He is saying to help them. Don't become idle with them. Don't begrudge them. Lift them up. Encourage them. Help the disruptive. Help the timid. I remember as a healthcare leader, I would fire people for that. Forgive me, Lord. Don't give up on them. The key to effective ministry is sensitivity. It's discernment. We're all broken. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. I'm broken. The key to effective ministry is sensitivity. It's discernment. It's following God's leading and offering the remedy to situations based upon the needs and the condition of the individual child of God. Believer, unbeliever, churched, unchurched, dechurched, it doesn't matter. White, black, Asian, it doesn't matter. Because God ministers to us in different ways. He did for me. He took a wretch like me, put me in the ministry. He ministers to us differently based upon our needs. Even during times of great difficulty, and brothers and sisters, I've had them. But God transforms lives. Amen? And God transforms lives particularly during trials and suffering and adversity. That's when we become close to God, and He uses that. The word weak in this verse does not mean people who are weak physically. It means people like I used to be, weak in faith. The Greek word for weak is asthenes. Again, spelled A-S-T-H-E-N-E-S, pronounced asthenes. And it means lacking moral strength. Far too many Christians today are weak in faith. Christians. They're enslaved. Again, I used to be one of them. I was enslaved by work. I was enslaved by pride. I was enslaved by sin. It was all about me. I was enslaved by pride. But I was enslaved by fear. I was enslaved by guilt. I could never do enough. I could never work my way to happiness. They're weak in faith. They succumb to the lies of the evil one who tells them that they're not worthy of the good news of the gospel. Amen? The free gift. The free gift. Because the good news assures believers that salvation and eternal life and happiness on this earth with God is secured by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen? Not by the arrogant works of man. Glory to God. And the Apostle Paul teaches us how to encourage and strengthen the weak in the church. Verses 14 through 16, he states, "Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." Retaliation and unforgiveness is not an option for a Christian. It's not. Even if the wrong has been done to him or her, one's response should be to forgive and to be kind. Somebody say, be kind to one another. And at this point, Paul has instructed us on church family leadership and church family partnership. Now he turns his attention to church family worship in verses 17 through 28. Worship is one of the most important activities of the local church. Ministry must flow out of worship, otherwise church becomes busy work, programs without power and without heart. You got to have those things, but we've got to worship and praise the Almighty God. That's why we're here. Paul names the various elements that make up the worship ministry of a church. We see in verses 16 and 17 the commands to rejoice always and to pray continually. For Paul, rejoice means to be joyful in setting one's mind on God and on the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to pray continually means that believers should not limit their communication with God to particular times, but must pray to God every day of every week throughout each day in recognition of dependence on Him and to give Him the glory and the praise. Colossians 4:2, the Bible says, devote yourselves to prayer. In Mark 1:35, speaking of Jesus, as He was preaching throughout Galilee, the text says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. How is your prayer life today? I know mine needs work. Where do you turn when difficulty, when sickness, a hardship comes into your life? Where do you turn for wisdom? Where do you turn for comfort, guidance? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, prayed. He was a man of prayer. He prayed for himself. He prayed for others. He prayed earnestly. He prayed continually. And we certainly could follow his example. Amen. So I believe the text in verse 17 commands us to pray continually. I believe that means that we are to live our life as a prayer. We should live our life as a prayer. By this I mean everything we say or do should be focused on God and on His Son and on their will for our lives. Worship. Worship. Verse 18, Paul commands us to give thanks in all circumstances. That being a vital element of worship. As we grow in our application of God's word, we must also grow in our expression of praise and thanksgiving, which means that whatever the circumstance, good or bad, this is hard for me. Whatever the circumstance, good or bad, God should be given the thanks for all things. All things. Adversity motivates us to depend upon the power and love of God. Adversity exposes our pride. Adversity purifies our faith. Adversity makes us stronger. Why do you put steel in a hot fire? To make it stronger. It prepares us. Adversity prepares us to love and to comfort one another. The fact is, God works everything together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That's Romans 8:28, and that's the basis for this teaching. That's the big idea. Verses 19 through 21 state, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." Here the Apostle Paul is teaching that apart from the Word of God, there is no certain revelation from the Lord, that worship which ignores the Bible is not spiritual. He's emphasizing the importance of the Holy Spirit in teaching the Word of God through worship, through prayer, through service, and through study. He's saying that we should not stifle the signs and the wonders or the gifts of the Holy Spirit in anyone's life. He is saying that we should encourage the full expression of them. But they should be expressed for the benefit of the entire body. Paul is teaching that while there may be emotion in worship, the Holy Spirit must be at work. There must be spiritual truth. And everything should be tested against the Word of God to ensure that we're giving God the glory and not man. Amen? Paul now turns his writing towards godly living in verses 23 to 24. He states, May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit, soul, and body refer to the entire being of a person. The spirit, soul, and body. What Paul is saying here is that unbelievers cannot relate to God through any of these aspects because of their sin, which limits them. And while unbelievers may have a general understanding of God, they cannot fellowship with Him. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary to die and to save every part of us so that as believers we can know Him fully even as we are fully known. Brothers and sisters, God must be involved in every aspect of our life. It's wrong to assume that we can separate our spiritual life from everything else by just obeying or serving God on Sundays when we are in church. As believers, God, the Spirit of God, lives within each one of us. Therefore, Christ must control all of us, not just the religious part of us. Verse 24 states, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Whatever God calls us to do, God is faithful, and he will ensure that all he has promised us will come to pass. God has assumed full responsibility for our needs and for the success of the plans that he has for us when we trust him and when we obey him. So the Apostle Paul concludes this letter with a command for Christian fellowship. He closes in verses 25 and 28 by stating, "Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Paul wanted everyone to hear this message because he was answering important questions. The Thessalonian church was young. The church needed help. The church needed encouragement because they were facing persecution, temptation, and adversity. And Paul wanted to strengthen their faith. I would suggest we have a similar responsibility here at James River Community Church, because like all of us today, we are under temptation. The evil one is roaring like a lion. There's trials. Just look at CNN. There's adversity. We have a responsibility to help unbelievers, to help new believers, to help fellow believers, irrespective of their social standing, irrespective of their race, irrespective of their ethnicity, to make sure that they are valued, encouraged, supported, and loved. Because after corporate worship has ended, we must minister to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We must greet one another. We must love one another like this lovely, beautiful child of God, which I just love hearing babies talk in church. He doesn't have to leave. We must greet one another. We must love one another. We must encourage one another because, brothers and sisters, we are family. Somebody say, we are family. Paul emphasized that the Word of God and the message of the cross is the most important thing in church. Jesus Christ had each one of us in mind when he went to the cross at Calvary. And on that cross, he paid for every sin that keeps us separated from God. We're all sinners, but by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, we have been given God's free gift, his free gift of love, his free gift of grace, and his free gift of eternal life. It's yours for the taking, it's yours for the keeping, and it's yours for the believing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross and for your endless mercies and grace. Today, as we worship you, we are reminded of the reality of the Holy Spirit, which raised Jesus from the dead, who lives inside of each of us as believers in Christ. We pray today, Lord, for James River Community Church, for the leadership of this church, and for the church family. Lord, please help us to minister and to encourage one another. Help us to be patient with one another. Lord, please help us to be joyful as we worship you, as we fellowship with you and with each other, and as we serve and glorify you. We ask all of this in the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen.